This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
As always, Dale Ryder and his appearances brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. And on that podcast, we'll be talking about Mike DeWine in the stadium, one of your recent guests, Daryl.
Yeah, well, I mean, that podcast is, and that interview is pretty much gone up in flames and outdated now. His plan got thrown into the recycle bin quickly by the
legislature. Yes,
it's such a bad situation because this isn't just a Browns issue. I know we're concerned with like what the Browns want to do. It really is a statewide issue. The Bengals have a $1.2 billion renovation that they're trying to get done. The Reds are exploring renovations to their ballpark. I mean, you've got six pro facilities in this state. You got the Browns, the Bengals, the Reds, the Columbus Blue Jackets, and the Cavs. So two ballparks, two arenas, two football stadiums, all going to need and require billions of dollars in investment going forward. And there's no plan to fund any of this stuff. And just giving the Browns $600 million in state bonds, like, that's great for the Browns. That's what they asked for. But I don't think that solves the greater problem. And I kind of feel like the state legislatures can't really see the forest through the trees here right now because, yeah, okay, fine, you solved the Browns problem. They solved the Guardians problem. State's given $2 million a year over 15 years for the Progressive Field renovation contribution there. But, like, there's all these other multi-million, multi-billion dollar projects that are going to be popping up in the coming years, and I don't know how the state's going to contribute to them because you know what's going to happen. Well, you did $600 million in bonds for the Browns. What are you going to do for us?
That's typically how these things work. So obviously, it's a great breakdown. And, you know, Jimmy Haslam, D, front and center in that discussion. Well, they're front and center in another discussion. And this is after hearing Charles Robinson on 102.5 The Game in Nashville recently. Very interesting conversation that made its way around. We could talk all we want, apparently, about Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski and their role in reshaping this Browns team. But what about the role the Haslams will play?
The quarterback position with the Browns, that's an ownership position. And I say that because the mess that they're in right now with Deshaun Watson was ownership driven. People around the league know it. I feel like I've known it for a while, but now you definitely get the sense that a multitude across the league, they don't pin that on Andrew Berry, the general manager, Kevin Stefanski. They know that when Deshaun Watson became someone who was on the radar, that Haslam basically took the controls and said, I'm going to get this done. That's why the finances, the fully guaranteed $240 million deal happened, was because of Jimmy Haslam. And I think as much as people look at quarterbacks and they paint, how does this guy fit Kevin Stefanski's system? What assets do they have to move? You don't hear a lot of people talking about Haslam, and they should be, because the hole and the problem created, I think internally, if everyone is being honest, including Jimmy Haslam, they know the problem was created by the owner.
All right, again, that was Charles Robinson on 102.5 The Game in Nashville. Daryl, obviously, you would know as well as anybody that ownership, no matter what your situation is, no matter how much you pay your GM and coach, short of maybe having Bill Belichick, and even at the end, that got a little murky, the owners are going to be the ones that sign off on all the big ticket items. The question is, how often does ownership meddle with those big ticket items?
Well,
in this case, Charles makes it sound like, oh yeah, what Jimmy Haslam wants is going to be what happens.
Well, I mean, we know the Johnny Manziel story that has become the stuff of legends. We know what happened, obviously, you know, with the Deshaun situation, and how they have really kind of tried to keep the actual responsibility or accountability for that particular move. They've deliberately tried to keep it as murky as possible. And honestly, I think that that is what helps to our conversation earlier in the show about Andrew Berry and his job security, and why maybe I don't want to say defending Berry, but I just trying to maybe lower the temperature on his hot seat for this year. I think he's going to get some latitude because of how the Deshaun thing went down and who was involved and whatnot. I mean, ownership is traveling, doing the tour here as they look at Cam Ward. They, you know, the dinner last night with Abdul Carter, Penn State. You know, going to these workouts and things like that. Look, owns the team, has every right to be there. Okay, signs the checks, has every right to be there. I just, from my standpoint, Anthony, I just hope that he leaves the actual decision to Andrew Berry, so that Andrew Berry is the one that's accountable. So if Andrew Berry screws up this draft, he's the guy that gets fired, and he should be fired for messing it up, right? That's just my thing. You're the owner. You sign the checks. Obviously, any big, major commitment, yes, you should be, you know, have some sort of a sign-off there. But when it comes to the actual deciding who's on the roster or who the quarterback is going to be, I hope that there have been lessons learned from inserting influence into situations, trying to steer in certain directions. Like, just leave it to the GM. Like, yeah, you have every right to travel, meet, shake hands, get to know, make sure that, you know, maybe culturally it's a fit and you're bringing in a good guy into your organization and things like that. But if from a just a pure football decision-making process, I'm hoping that Andrew Berry 100% has the authority to make the determination they make.
I just don't know what I'm supposed to do with the information. Let's say everything Charles Robinson just said was 100% accurate. And in the end, we're all sitting here debating the tendencies of Andrew Berry, and in the end, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's what Jimmy Haslam's going to want. What are we supposed to do as fans? Because I don't even know what percentage of our fan base even has that much confidence that Andrew Berry would make the right decision in this case.
And it's a double-edged sword, right? Remember when Randy Lerner owned the Browns, the rub was, well, he's an absentee owner. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason he brought in Mike Holmgren, which then started rubbing the other NFL owners the wrong way, because Lerner was sending Holmgren as the de facto representative to the league meetings. And the owner's like, no, this is the Billionaire Boys Club. This is not for Coach Holmgren, right? I kind of feel like Browns, and I get Browns fan frustration. I really, when it comes to ownership, I do. But it's a double-edged sword. Okay, you either want the guy to be involved or you don't want the guy to be involved. Okay? You can't say, well, I don't want him involved, and then complain if he's not involved or say, I want him involved, but then if he's involved, you also complain about that. Does that make sense?
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
I feel like there's a lot of that going on right now when it, and obviously because of the results, right? I mean, they've been awful under the Haslams since they bought the team. The on the field products for the most part has been just absolutely god awful. A lot of double digit losing seasons, 2 playoff appearances in the last 5 years, 1 playoff victory in the last, 13 years that they've owned the team or had control of the team, the results haven't been there. And so when you own the team, you deserve the criticism. You're responsible. You're the one signing the checks. But the thing is the Browns light more money on fire than anybody in the NFL. Go all the way back to Brock Osweiler, $16 million they paid him just so they could get a second-round draft pick. You can't question the desire of ownership to want to win. And the financial commitment to want to win, they'll spend whatever it takes to win. My thing is, at what point do you start requiring a return on your investment, right? You spent over $300 million on a football team last year that won a grand total of the 3 games. And by my math, Anthony, and I could be wrong, that's $100 million a victory. And that is not good fiscal responsibility.
All right, we have Coming In Hot coming up in 15 minutes, 216-474-0092. Let's go to Jack in Lorain. Get everybody in. Go ahead, Jack.
Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering what Daryl meant when he said that Barry, if he messes up this draft, he should be fired. What does he mean by messing up the draft?
Well, you got 5 of the top 104 picks. You got to hit on some guys. Like Andrew Berry, I think he's drafted 37 players. Now, I acknowledge the vast majority of those 37 players are 3rd round to 7th round, but he's only drafted 1 Pro Bowler in 5 years. His first-round pick was, in my view, a bust, even though he at least was a starter. He wasn't a good starter, and he didn't get a second contract. His second first-round pick might not get a second contract, but he has been a good player and a contributor in Greg Newsom. But, like, you've got to nail the number 2 pick. You've got to nail the number 33 pick, or if you trade back into the first round, you have to nail either 67 or 94, in my view. Like, you've got to be able to draft players that can cut. You can't fix everything through free agency. And that's how Andrew Berry's been doing this. He's been trying to patch everything through free agency and through trades. At some point, you got to draft well. And again, I acknowledge he hasn't had a lot of top picks, but the top picks he's had, he hasn't nailed, and he certainly hasn't nailed a lot of 3 through 7s.
Well, I just make one observation to what you just said. You talked about him having to nail the 4 picks they have in the
top 3.
Yeah,
that's his job as GM, draft well.
But nobody, not a GM in the NFL, can live up to that expectation.
Let's see. The Los Angeles Rams didn't have a first-round pick for 10 years, and they won a Super Bowl, and a lot of the players were drafted. The Pittsburgh Steelers have drafted well historically. The Baltimore Ravens draft well historically. The Kansas City Chiefs do pretty well in the draft historically. The New England Patriots, they do well in the draft historically, at least during their Super Bowl runs. Like, you don't build teams through free agency. You build teams through the draft. And now that you've got a first-round pick back, well, guess what? It's time to reset things and do well by nailing, those early picks.
We did have a poll up. It is getting a ton of traction. And I want to compare this. Oh, and we had earlier in the week, we just had, Kenny just said, we're taking calls. We're taking them cold.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Shador Sanders? And I'm like, I don't know that people are that high on Shador Sanders. So just in my discussions with Browns fans and my buddies, and just didn't seem like there was the sampling I thought we'd get. So we just opened up the phones, and it was 2-1, 3-1.
It was 2-1.
And he took 30 calls cold. And everyone's like, Sanders, 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 Sanders. Okay, compare that to the poll that we put up on Twitter, on X. Would you rather have the Browns take Shedeur Sanders with the number two overall pick or draft Will Howard in the second round? 650 votes in, it's deadlocked. It is deadlocked. So when you add the Will Howard part of it to the conversation, it takes away. All of a sudden, Shedeur at number two is nowhere near as popular. Lou in North Royalton wants to respond to this poll. Go ahead, Lou.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I don't know what people's problem are with this, but Will Howard is a young version of Joe Flacco, but with wheels. Joe Flacco's got stone cement shoes for wheels. Howard is at least mobile.
Now, Lou, Howard has nowhere near the arm that Joe Flacco had, right?
I understand that, but people need to base this. I don't care what quarterbacks do in the regular season. That doesn't interest me. Okay, that's why I think that Lamar Jackson is where Lamar Jackson's at. Okay, all I'm concerned about is the postseason. What did Will Howard do in the college playoffs? That's all that matters. To me,
well, Cardale Jones also went on an abbreviated run and won a national championship and was 6'5 and had a decent arm. So he might have been a first-round pick had he left that year. He got talked into staying, and then the rest is history.
Right. But also, Cardale Jones was a one-hit wonder.
Well, what about Craig Krenzel? Like, I mean, if that's the litmus test, what they did in the college football playoffs, then what happened to Craig Krenzel?
I think that Will Howard has more of an upside potential. So you go to me, I would sign Joe Flacco because you already know what he can do in Kevin Stefanski's offense. Now, if we had a different coach, then I say, yeah, get the best quarterback that you can get. But Will Howard is perfect, and that's why I made the comparison to Joe Flacco. Will Howard is perfect for Kevin Stefanski's offense, and he can sit, Flacco for 2 years. He can sit on the bench for 2 years and learn, and then put him in.
All right, thank you, Lou.
Flacco's playing until he's 42.
We got to move on. If Flacco, what better mentor? Of course, again, Flacco has a much better arm.
Might want to watch that Indy tape from last season. I'm just saying.
The thing about Flacco was that he could throw the deep ball. The thing about Will Howard is that he can't throw the deep ball.
Well, not even I think even more so than the deep ball, because he had some in the playoff run that were good enough.
I've heard today, pool noodle for an arm.
That was from Mitch.
By the way,
right.
Big news, if you're a Browns season ticket holder, I guess today is the last day to renew your tickets.
No wiggle on that? Like, this is it?
I guess if you want to go see Journey, I don't know.